Saudi Arabia would under no circumstances want the regional situation in the Middle East to go back to the 1970s when the U.S. and Iran were allies. Saudi Arabia was something of a second fiddle oil player back then, and its role in the Arab world was limited by the larger Arab countries of Iraq and Egypt. No one expects that situation to emerge once again, but most people in Iran today have no memory of the 1979 Islamic Revolution and were born after the reign of the Shah, Pahlavi. What they know is an isolated Iran supporting insurgent movements in the world whose leaders are shunned by the West and defiantly claim they have a right to nuclear weapons. James Buchan fell in love with Iranian culture as a student more than a half century ago. He says the people of Iran today seem hungry for alternatives to the isolation of the Islamic Republic, the passion over which has long since died out. James Buchan is the author of a new book entitled Days of God: The Revolution of Iran and Its Consequences.
The monarchy in Iran, which lasted until the revolution of 1979, wasn't up to much, but it certainly compared very favorably with the Islamic Republic that's followed it. In contrast, the monarchy seems like a golden age of prosperity and justice. And it's the fact that the standard of living in the Islamic Republic has now fallen below that of the monarchy that we're getting this turn in Iran.
Although you describe in this book how in the Shah's regime and then in a kind of yin-yang sort of relationship post-revolution, the governments of Iran have delivered a bludgeon to tradition, enforcing modernism and then enforcing anti-modernism in ways that the people have no choice but simply to accept. And it's been a wild ride for Iranians really since the 1950s.
Yes, indeed. I mean, I guess forced modernization doesn't work any more than forced archaization, which is what we've had under the Islamic Republic. When the Pahlavis came to power in 1925, Iran was an extremely backward country, and they both sought to bring Iran up to the level of an industrial power much too rapidly. And it was the strains of that, particularly after 1973, 1974, that produced tremendous dislocations. Really, the Iranians didn't know whether they were coming or going.
You know, the clergy after Khomeini, in a sense, made almost the exact same mistake to try to create a Sharia law utopia almost immediately, going with great, great haste, regardless of the consequences.
Yes, yes. The revolution itself was quite a civilized and relatively bloodless affair that occurred over 1978 and 1979. But what followed afterwards was a civil war and then a foreign war when Iran was invaded by Iraq. And it was during that dreadful decade of the 1980s that Khomeini and his supporters essentially drove out all their rivals in Iran and created the Islamic Republic.
We think of the radicalism of Iran as coming from the original days of the students taking the hostages at the U.S. Embassy. But as you write in this book, in the 1980s, during the 1980s, in recounting the old Iran-Contra affair, Iran really got the bad end of all that, both in terms of where it came out diplomatically and also the consequences in the Iran-Iraq War, one of the most brutal conflicts of the 20th century.
Yes, I mean, the Islamic Republic has not been successful. It was very nearly defeated in the Iran-Iraq War. I mean, what's at stake now is the preservation of power, and that's another cause for this change in attitude that's occurred in Iran, is that the Republic itself is under threat because of its international isolation and the very poor performance of its economy.
There are so many young people in Iran today who have possibly no real memory of the revolution, even its aftermath, in many cases the Iran-Iraq War, and certainly the period of the Shah. What would you tell a young person in Iran who may be asking you, what was it like years ago in my country?
Well, when you go to Iran, young people do come up to you and say, what was it like under the monarchy in the days of the Shah? Is it true that whiskey flowed in fountains and all the girls wore miniskirts? And I have to say, no, it wasn't like that at all. Iran was still a very, very conservative Muslim country. Obviously, the great change in the Islamic Republic is after the takeover of the U.S. Embassy in November 1979, anti-Americanism became the principal pillar of state for the Islamic Republic. But anti-Americanism is not something that you come across much among ordinary Iranians. It's purely a political posture. And that is why it could be subject to change or adjustment. It's not as if the Iranian public passionately hates the United States. On the contrary, like many people all over the world, the young Iranians are enthusiastic about American culture. The problem is if the United States and Iran do bury the hatchet, then young Iranians will say, well, do we really need all these gentlemen with turbans ruling over us? Why can't we have just an ordinary common or garden parliamentary republic like everybody else? And that's why these talks in Geneva and the whole nuclear process is full of peril for the Islamic Republic.
Finally, I spent some time in Iran after 1979 and was there at the death of Ayatollah Khomeini at the end of the Iran-Iraq War after, as you write, he took the poison of compromise in the end. There was such a sense of communality, millions and millions of people in the street expressing a kind of simple reverence for all the complexity and insanity of the U.S.-Iranian politics. What can you say about the beauty of that ability in Iran to just hold hands together in a way that, as an American, I just can't even imagine?
Well, Khomeini had a particular place in the heart of Iranians because he seemed to have broken out of the tragic course of Iranian history and returned the people's dignity to them. But as I say, that feeling has now entirely dissipated.
So that sense of national commonality is a moment that's passed, never to return?
Well, I don't know. It's certainly passed. I don't know whether it would return. But Iranian society has become much more fractured. What the Iranians have to be given is a way of getting out of this mess while retaining their honor and retaining their dignity. And that's neither impossible nor even particularly difficult to do.
James Buchan, author of Days of God, The Revolution in Iran and Its Consequences. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.